give you praise. Meet us now as we open your word. Lord, it's really powerful word for the church. We just covet your presence and that you would take this word and sink it deep in our hearts that we might be transformed for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're at the most amazing chapter in the whole Bible, which is Romans 8. Let me do a quick recap here. What we've seen so far, I'm going to be real quick because I know not everybody's here all the time. So when we started the book of Romans, in the opening chapters, you guys need Bibles? Okay. Good to see you guys. Jake, I heard you had a bus experience. Mm-hmm. How was that?
Good.
Good? Mm-hmm. Stepped out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
he was on a bus and some guy was freaking out with drugs and Jake went over and asked him to pray. And it was pretty cool. Had some manifestations and stuff. The guy kind of manifested over. I remember when I first got saved, I went downtown Kitchener. That was what God called me to do, and preach to people on the street. So it was lots of hostility towards, but that's the call. So once you overcome that, it's like smooth sailing. If you can do that, you can do just about anything. So. Praise God. Opening. The book opens, and in verses 16 of chapter 1, we get the gospel of God is the power of God and salvation. And then the next verse, verse 17, talks about the gospel is the righteous shall live by faith. And that sets up the whole book. That's the theme of the whole book. The righteous shall live by faith. And so chapters 1 to 3 talk about and demonstrate that all of humanity, whether you're religious or you're not, we're all guilty of sin. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wrath of God towards sinners for breaking his law, for being hostile towards him, is upon every single person on planet Earth. That's the reality. Sorry, but that's what the Bible says. But there's good news. Salvation is revealed in Jesus Christ. At the end of chapter 3, God has made a way for people to be saved and delivered from the wrath of God and the power of sin in their lives. And then that one person, there's only one person, is Jesus Christ. God initiates salvation. He sends it. He offers it to us. It's up to us to say yes. But even that ability to say yes, being dead in our sins, is by his grace. When one makes that declaration that I trust Jesus, one is justified by grace. Grace, the free gift of God offered in Jesus Christ. We say, yes, I want that through faith. So grace and faith work together. His grace, our faith, apart from the law, no one is declared righteous. No one can get to heaven by keeping the law. Okay, that's very clear. So what he does in chapter 4, he goes and demonstrates how Abraham was declared righteous by God because there was no law yet. So he walked by faith. He trusted the promises of God. And because of that, God imputed or gave to him the righteousness that he was looking for, okay? Because he was under sin too, but God imputed, that's a cool word, just like saying that word. What does it mean? What does imputed mean? He takes his righteousness and puts it on us. Okay? We are guilty sinners before him, and he puts his righteousness on us. Chapter 5 is all, he shows us how in Adam all die, but through the new God-man, Adam, the new Adam, we don't call him Adam because he's not, doesn't have any of the sin of Adam, but God sends his son into the world, and all who believe in him and receive him will be made alive. And they are now part of the new community, the reborn, regenerated community of God. The old community is gone under Adam, and this new heavenly community is birthed in Christ. That's chapter 5. Let me show you. Cool verse. 5, 20, 21. The law entered that the offense might abound, but there where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So under Adam, sin is reigning, and all those under Adam are under sin and bound for wrath, and those who are in Christ by the grace of God are destined for heaven, eternal life. The moment you believe, you have eternal life. Okay? Fire your hand up if you got a question. But that's the gospel. In chapter 6, he shows that we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. We're freed by Christ to serve God. We're no longer bound by sin. Key verse 6:15. What then shall we say? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? So he deals with that. In chapter 5, the question is, well, if it's by grace, shall we go on sinning? And he says, no, you're dead to sin. That's chapter 6. Okay, in chapter 7, he answers the question in 6:15, which says, what then shall we sin because we are not under law? Well, so the question is, well, what about the law? What do I do now? He says, you're freed from that too. The moment you died in Christ, you're crucified with him, you're no longer under the law. You're free to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the key verse in chapter 7, which is freed from the law, dead to the law, although the law still has authority over you. We'll talk about that. We have talked about that. We talked about antinomianism, which is saying, under the law, I can do what I want now. Just me and the Holy Spirit, we can just do whatever we want. Friends, the Word of God is the law of God. It's our guide for life. We just can't throw it away. If you say you're not under the law, you take this book and throw it out. No, we're still under the law. But the law is written on our heart by the Holy Spirit. So most important verse, I think, in chapter 7, which takes us to chapter 8, which is where we're going right now, is verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, sin, and the law work like a tag team. Okay, we hear the law, we want to break it. That's how we're wired. Mm-hmm. Our nature is to commit sin. And sin in us is desiring to break the law. And by that we die, so that we should serve in newness of life. He delivered us from the law, the power of the law, so that we might serve in newness of life. Chapter 7, verse 6, of the Spirit. The newness of the Spirit. He drops that in there as nugget. This is the whole key to the Christian life. And so we saw that we are justified by faith and we are declared holy. Now, since we are declared righteous, we need to walk out how we are holy. Mm-hmm. It's a new life. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in your flesh. You do it in the power of the Spirit. That's chapter 8. Okay? Let's start chapter 8. I'm just going to go through verse by verse. Here's the biggest thing you need to get from this. And I've said it before and it needs to be said often because I see it on people.
Yes.
They try to earn favor with God and they can't. They live in their flesh. They just try and try. And what happens when you can't succeed is you always feel condemned. Mm-hmm. And so he makes this incredible declaration that there is now no condemnation. No condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no consequence for sin. It's all been taken care of Jesus. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the key. Are you in Christ? Okay. You can't do that. You're dead. You can't put yourself in Christ. God puts you in Christ by faith. Okay. That's the only way. You can't earn it. If you try to earn it, you'll just feel condemned because you'll never get there. Friends, people have written about this, Martin Luther, all these great reformers, they're all Catholic priests, and they all try to be free from this sin and this law they're trying to follow. They never get there.
Yeah.
Just so frustrating. And finally, they read the Bible. You got to read their salvation experience. Yeah. It's so awesome. They just like one day reading, and poof, their eyes are open.
Yeah.
They get it. Not by works, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified.
That's right.
It's all grace. It's all a free gift. God takes the dead person, wakes them up, makes them alive, and puts them in Christ. Okay, that's what he's talking about. In my translation, in the King James and New King James, we have this line, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's a really important verse, which we'll see again in chapter 4. So whether you have it or not in your version, or verse 4, whether you have it or not doesn't matter, because it's in verse 4. Okay.
Yeah.
The law of the Spirit. There's a law of the Spirit of life. In Christ, Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yeah.
What is the law? of the Spirit of life? Great, great question. Glad you asked it. I want you to go back to Genesis. I want you to think of the Holy Spirit brooding over the waters, over the earth. It's formless and void. There's nothing, nothing yet. Just this mass. There's no Big Bang theory or anything like that. It's at the command of God's voice, let there be, the Spirit goes into action. What does he do? He takes chaos, it's formless and void, and he makes something out of it. He recreates it. Okay? That's the power of the life-giving Spirit. The Spirit is life.
Yeah.
All through the Bible. If you don't have the Spirit, you're dead.
Yeah.
When someone dies, the Spirit leaves them. Okay, we are animated, made alive by the Spirit of God. So we're dead, though, in our sins. But the Spirit of God, the law he lives under, which is his own law because he's God, is to create life. He who has a son has life. God is life. Okay, in him is life. That's all he knows how to do. That's his law. That's what governs him. It's like gravity. Okay, he lives to make life. So he takes a dead sinner and he wakes them up and causes them life, brings them to life. And it's so fascinating. He regenerates. He makes them new creations, okay? And it's this gospel power that sin is canceled and now we live in the power of the Spirit to serve the living God. Okay, that this is, friends, it's all God. It's all God, okay? And what is the motivation for the Spirit of God doing this? Well, chapter 1, or verse 1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In Christ. Mm-hmm. It's in Christ, okay? And condemnation is taken away because of the work of Christ. But what motivated Christ to do it? You guys know this. John 3:16. God loved the world so much. It's Christ's love. He was compelled to obey the Father and come and free the prisoner who was bound by sin. So if you go to the end of chapter 8, it says, verse 34. Well, let's start in verse 31. What shall we say to these amazing truths that he's expounded in chapter 8? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. There's no condemnation. God will not condemn you once you're in Christ. Okay? He's already condemned Christ. That's why we shouldn't live under condemnation. If we do, we haven't understood the gospel. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Okay? It's so beautiful that God wants to give us everything we need for life, to serve him and live for him. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Nobody. You can't. You're guilty free. There's no more guilt. You're freed from condemnation. No one can bring anything against you. It's God who justifies, and he's already justified. He's already declared you righteous. Okay? And he's put the righteousness of Christ on you. So when he sees you, he sees righteousness. He doesn't see sin.
Mm-hmm.
You get this?
Mm-hmm.
Who is he who condemns? Nobody. There's no condemnation. No one can condemn you. Because it is Christ who died. Christ died for you. He took your condemnation. Okay, this is the beautiful thing about the gospel.
Praise the Lord.
He would never, after dying for you, come and say, you're a condemned sinner. No, he paid the price already.
Right.
Okay, it's just the gospel. The more you get into it, the more you say, wow, this is so fascinating. Who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. He makes intercession for us. You go, oh, wow. Jesus is up there interceding before the Father for me. Okay? He's interceding on my behalf. God, I paid for him. Father God, I paid for him. My blood. He's covered by my blood. He's justified. There's no condemnation. Okay? Okay, so he screwed up. God, he's mine. He's mine. I bought him. I paid for him. And he's yours. No condemnation. Okay? If Jesus is praying for us, he's not going to bring a charge against us. It's just so incredible. Anyway, we'll get to that at some point. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can anybody separate you from the love of Christ? He spends the rest of the chapter saying, no, nothing. Nothing
right.
In all the world. Nothing. Verse 37, we're more than conquerors. Okay, we've already conquered. We're more than conquerors. We're seated in heaven with him. So that's the truth of the gospel. We need to, as followers of Jesus, keep reminding ourselves, even when the devil comes and accuses us, even when, if we should fall into sin, remember there's no condemnation. Okay? Next verses. No condemnation because of the substitutionary atonement. Jesus took our place. Okay? For the law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Okay? Our flesh. Oh, it's something. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin. No condemnation. Right. Whose sin did he condemn? Yours. Whose flesh was crucified? His, but we were in Christ. Okay, that's chapter 6. We were crucified with Christ. He took the penalty. He paid it all. We're dead. And friends, the key to spirit-filled living, to living out chapter 8, is to reckon yourselves dead to sin.
Yeah.
You are dead. Okay? If you can't receive that truth, you will not have success in the Christian life. Because your flesh, you will give way too much power to your flesh. Your flesh is your nature, your body. You'll serve whatever it wants, okay? So, the law is weak because of our flesh and the power of sin. God, in Christ, destroys the power of sin and by faith crucifies our flesh in Christ when he crucifies his son. The natural fruit, the outflow of so great a salvation, and all that he does of being justified and declared not guilty is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So justification and sanctification go hand in hand.
Right.
I'm going to say this right out. If you have been declared righteous, if you're a new creation in Christ, your life is not about sin anymore. Okay? You walk in holiness because God has declared you are holy. And just to confirm that, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you to make you holy. Okay? That is phenomenal. So, we walk in the power of Holy Spirit, living holy, sanctified lives. Now, I want you to see this. It's pretty crazy. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through flesh, God did. God the Father did. How did he do it? He sent his Son, second person of the Trinity. In the sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemns sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to flesh but according to the Spirit. If you walk according to the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all working on your behalf. Okay? The Trinity is for you. If God is for you, who can be against? Okay? Nobody. The law fulfilled by love. I'm sorry, I see so much. I see so much when I'm studying, and I just got to include this because it's so beautiful. Just go quickly to Romans 13, verse 8 and 9. It's up there. The law might be fulfilled, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. He condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Verses 8, 9, and 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The law is fulfilled by love. Okay? He says at the end of verse 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here's how you fulfill the law. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. It's a law of love. We can't fulfill it in our flesh. We can't humanly fulfill that law. Christ comes down to earth. He walks in perfect obedience. He fulfills the law. Okay? And the penalty of the law is death for breaking it, which we did. We have done over and over and over again, our whole existence, till Christ shows up. And so he pays the penalty and he fulfills the law. What's the language of this whole text? We're in Christ. We're crucified with Christ. We're in Christ. Okay? And we still have to keep the law. Like, you can't go and say, woohoo, there's no condemnation, and I'm free, and so I'll just go, covet my neighbor and sleep with his wife and blah, 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 and I'll steal his stuff. No, that's not, you're still bound by the law. Okay? But it's love. The whole law is fulfilled in love. How do we get God's love? Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit pours His love into our hearts.
Amen.
Okay? So we have the love of God in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Friends, how do you live the Christian life? In the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you really receive the love of God poured into your heart, it's so amazing. You cannot, you won't want to do anything to your neighbor that goes against the word. Okay? First of all, you're going to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Secondly, everything you're going to do is going to be the way God wants to treat people and the way you want them treated, the way you want to be treated. That's only possible because the love of God has been poured in our heart. Okay? Fascinating truth. That's a whole sermon itself. Let's move on to the next slide. Not by our flesh, but by Holy Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Remember, we talked about this in chapter 7. The flesh is your body, your desire, your natural aspiration to want to commit sin, that you want to do what pleases you. That's your flesh, but it's crucified. They set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we have to ask ourselves, if I'm a follower of Jesus, if I give my life to Christ, if He's redeemed me and made me new creation, how do I live my life now? Am I living by the Spirit of God, or is my flesh leading me? Why would I want the flesh to lead me when the flesh is dead? It's crucified. So my translation says to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, it's always the same word in Greek, is death, but to be fleshly minded is life and peace. There's a difference. If I let the Spirit lead me, it's going to bring me life and peace. That's the fruit of Holy Spirit, okay? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, mercy, like all that stuff is going to follow me. If I live for the flesh, it's not a pretty picture. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So, we're talking about the mind here. We're either fleshly minded, carnally minded, or spiritually minded. Friends, this is a huge difference, okay? And the Greek is really amazing because I can't explain it to you other than it says, I have it here down somewhere, I've translated it so we can understand it really simply. Here's what the Greek says in verse 5. Those according to the flesh are living to the flesh. And those according to the Spirit, according to the Spirit, live according to the Spirit. In the middle of those two, which you don't get in this translation, in any translation, is this word mind, phroneo, okay? And in the Greek, it's the tense is a continuous living. You're continually living by the Spirit of God. You're not living at all by the flesh. You're not continuing to live in the flesh. You're living by the Spirit. But this word literally means this mindset. What is your mindset about this gospel? Okay? What do you think about this whole thing? Are you reckoning yourselves dead to sin? Dead to the law? Are you, is your disposition, are you bent now since you're a new creation in Christ? Are you wired to sin or to please Jesus, the Father? Okay? This is the difference. And this is the greatest evidence, I believe, that a person is truly born again and saved and living in the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, is that they are no longer living for themselves or living to please God. Okay, and I'm just going to show you that real quickly from 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 if you have your Bibles. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Okay, so if you're a new believer, if you're just checking this out, you know, and you're not saved, well, you're still living by the flesh. But if you really had an experience with God and you're born again, you just know that you're not the same person you used to be, right? And everything's changed. Everything's shifted. You're not interested in this stuff anymore. You're interested in the things of God. Okay? You know that. You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt because you've received the Spirit of God. And the things you're chasing is totally different. You're chasing godly things, not worldly things. He says, these things we also speak not in words, verse 13, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's teaching us. Okay? The natural man, the one who doesn't have the Spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nobody understands what you've gone through unless they've been born again by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Okay, your friend's saying, what a freak, you're weird, man. Like, how come you don't want to do the same things anymore? Used to be so much fun. Now you're like boring. Oh, I didn't know getting drunk and smoking weed was fun. No, it's not fun when you find life.
Not anymore, yeah.
Right? When you find real life.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
See? Yes.
We have the mind of Christ. Man, I tell myself this all the time, and I tell other people, your mind is not yours anymore. Mm-hmm. Your mind belongs to God. As a matter of fact, you have the mind of Christ. Okay? The same mind Jesus has, you have. Watch this. Watch what happens. He's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. They're a mess. Okay? They got so many issues, and the men have just finished 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Sometimes you think, this isn't even a church. This is a church? How can they live like this? Well, I think you realize a lot of them aren't living. They're not Christians. So he says in chapter 3, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but to carnal. You're fleshly.
Yeah.
You're like babes in Christ. Like, you're barely even there. You just started. Like, really? I don't even know if you're born again. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, but until now you were not able to receive it. They can't receive basic truth, okay? For you are still carnal, for where there's envy, strife, divisions, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? So there's the fruits. The fruit is they're not living according to the Spirit. They're living according to the flesh. Okay? And if you see that stuff in someone's life, you got to ask yourself, are you really born again? Are you really saved? And I think that's a great question because there's too much stuff going on in the church. And I don't think a lot of people are really saved. And if you go to Galatians 5, you know, you'll see. This it doesn't get much plainer than this. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, they're actually at enmity. They're not compatible. Like, one is darkness, one is light. You can't mix the two together. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a war going on, the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can't walk in the Spirit and the flesh at the same time. If you are led by the Spirit, Galatians 5:18, you are not under the law. You're under the law of the Spirit, who always gives life. Now the works of the flesh, in case you just don't get it. Okay, what are the works of the flesh? Well, I'm glad Jesus wrote down in his word. Adultery, fornication, like sexual sins, uncleanness, lewdness, those are all sexual sins. Idolatry, worshiping other gods, sorcery, okay, that's witchcraft, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, now pay attention, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those people who live like that, according to the flesh, are not saved. They're not on their way to heaven. And let me just rant a little bit here, because 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what I read you about the carnal Christian, we have made this theology and this exception that we can have natural people who aren't born again, and we can have spirit-filled Christians who are like on fire for Jesus, and we can have carnal Christians. Have you heard that term before?
Mm-hmm.
Carnal Christians,
mm-hmm,
who are living for the flesh. They love Jesus and they might be saved, but they're just living for themselves. No. This is what the flesh produces. I just read it to you. If that's the character of a person who lives by the flesh and they call themselves a Christian, they're on their way to hell, people. Mm-hmm. They're not on their way to heaven. Okay? And this is something the church needs to address. We cannot have people continually in sin like that's happening in the church and calling themselves Christian. It's a disgrace to the name of Christ.
Right.
Okay? We, as fellow believers who truly are born again, need to call them out.
Mm-hmm.
Either say, get saved or get out.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you're bringing a bad name to the church.
But then the answer you get is judge not. You're judging.
Right. And you know what you say? Here's what I say. I have pulled the plank out of my eye, so I can pull the speck out of yours. I'm doing you a favor. If you don't change this lifestyle, that road you're on leads to death.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay? You either continue in your sin and you demonstrate that you don't have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Christ. If you don't belong to Christ, you're on your way to the wrong kingdom. Okay? I'm going to show you that right now. Thank you for the segue. That is the next slide.
Holy Spirit.
Friends, I wish I had 4 hours. I'm sorry I'm going to go so long, but it's not often. Romans 8, I could live here the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Beautiful word. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Period. You may think you're living by the Spirit, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Jesus. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. There you go. Christ is in you. You're dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Three times, dwells. Abiding. The Spirit of God is abiding in me. John 14, 16 to 20, real quick. Man, you just read this stuff, you go, look at this. Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of Christ. You have the Spirit of Christ? He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. If Christ is in you, I thought you were talking about the Holy Spirit. No, it's Christ. You have the whole Godhead living inside of you. Okay? It's remarkable, friend. This is a sign of a Christian. How can you not live for Jesus when he's inside of you? If you're not living for Jesus, he's not inside of you. That's what he's saying. If you're living for the flesh, you're not living for Jesus. You're proving you don't belong to him. Okay? It's so simple. It doesn't get any simpler. I just can't believe it. Actually, it's in color. Thank you. It's not in color of mine. See, you see what's going on? Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Christ in you, Spirit of life, Spirit of him, Christ. It's just, I read this and I go, oh my God, what have you done for me?
Yeah.
That you would choose me to live in.
Yeah.
You know what dwell is? You know what dwell? Yeah. I'm your habitation. I'm the one you chose to live inside of. And a dwelling is an intimate place. How many dwell with somebody? You'd all dwell in a home. Is there chaos and strife and jealousy and all that stuff in your home? I hope not, because that's not a nice home. But it's intimacy. You sit down together for a meal. Right? You share life together. God is sharing life with me. He chose me to abide in me and dwell in me. This is so remarkable. You are his dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, John 14, he says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send another. And he's going to be in you, and I'm going to be in you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. See, he says the same thing to his disciples in John 14 when they find out he's about to go die. And this is a beautiful part here. I just want to focus on, because all the older people will go, yeah, amen. And I'm one of them. He says this. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. One day, see, because you have Holy Spirit resurrection power in you right now, who raised Jesus from the dead? God did.
Yeah.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you. Okay? And Ephesians 1, Romans 4, the Spirit of God is a guarantee of the promise of God. Mm-hmm. That one day we're going to leave these bodies. And we're heading for glory. Amen?
Amen?
How do you know that? Because the Spirit of God is inside of you. This is beautiful truth. Look up these verses. They're so awesome. So, what is the response to this truth? Live like hell?
No.
Live in the flesh? No. Holiness. Hey, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We owe it to God. Not to live for ourselves, but to live for him. Not to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just take a moment and ask yourself, what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, what I'm doing on an hourly basis, is it bringing life or is it bringing death?
Yeah.
Am I going to get life out of this? Is anybody else going to get life out of this? Or am I just sowing death? If by the Spirit you continually put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And that, friends, is called holiness. By the Spirit of God, by the power of the life-giving Spirit who's inside of you, I can be holy. Holy Spirit's job is to make me holy. And I said last time, prepare me to meet Jesus, yes, to be the holy, pure bride of Christ. We are under obligation to the Holy Spirit who freed us to live for Him. Yeah. Okay? Living by the flesh is not living, it's death. Okay? There's the verses you can look up. And according to Jesus, according to Paul, Holy Spirit is our helper to kill the flesh and sanctify, yes, us for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Set us apart and make us holy. Okay?
Can I add a footnote?
Yeah.
For new believers, this can take time. Renewing your mind. Yeah. Some of you need to have demons cast out of you. Some of you need healing. Some of you, you all need discipling. You all need teaching. So if there's things in your life that you still find yourself living in flesh, don't worry about that. Don't focus on that. That will be done with. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of time. And that's okay. That's why you have people,
yes,
discipling you and loving you and walking with you.
Yes, that's called discipleship.
Yes.
I just want to encourage you, though, in this, because I want to get back to the mind thing. Mm-hmm. As a man thinks in his heart, so will he,
yes,
be. Okay. If you continue to see yourself, I said this before, as a sinner, an unredeemed, condemned sinner, you will walk out what you believe.
That's right.
It's about what you believe up here, really in here. Okay, mm-hmm. That word for nail is it's actually the word for diaphragm. Mm-hmm. So it's about here. What do I believe? Not here, but here. Has the truth that I am not condemned sunk to my heart? Okay, that I'm free in Christ, that I'm redeemed, I'm a new creation. And, you know, Ephesians or Romans 6, reckon yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's such a powerful verse. You should paint it everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling with who you are in Christ, take that verse, put it in like 900 font, and just plaster it all over your house. Do a mural on your wall with it.
Yeah.
Think about it, friends. Think of the opportunities you'd have to share Jesus with people when they come in and see that. Mm-hmm. It's about what you think about yourself.
Yes.
It's about have you received the truth of the gospel in your mind. Okay? The mind is the heart. It's the mind of your heart, okay? And it's submission to the Holy Spirit. Who's leading you? Yes, I absolutely agree. You need discipleship. You need to submit yourself to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You need to allow others to teach you how to walk this life. It's not easy because temptation, we have an enemy out there who wants to trip us up and mm-hmm. kill us and destroy us. But we have a victorious God.
Amen?
Amen? Who has already defeated the enemy, and we are more than conquerors in Him.
Amen.
See, we just need to claim the truth for ourselves. Okay, that's it for this. Is there any more? There's one more slide. One more slide.
Conclusion.
Paul sums up what I've just presented, I believe, in the book of Titus, in this little section I put up here. See, the whole message of Romans 8, and when he's going to teach, and I didn't want to go too far, as I stopped at chapter verse 13. Grace frees us to live godly lives under the power of the Holy Spirit. He's preparing us to meet Jesus. That's what he's doing. He's preparing, I'm going to end on this again this week, he's preparing us to meet Jesus.
Amen.
Friends, if you're not excited about that, come and talk to me. Or talk to Bruno, because he'll give you a little slap. Wake up. This is what Paul says. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men and women and children. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Okay? Just look at what the response is to the gospel of salvation. We deny ungodliness. We deny worldly lusts. That's the flesh. That's the definition of the flesh right there. We live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. What prompts us to continue walking that holy life? We're looking for the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. don't know about you, that's why I live. I can't wait to see him. When I see Israel going through all this going, I go, oh, it's coming. Today could be the day. And the way the world's going and lawlessness and all this stuff and the great falling away. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Okay, always, it's always rooted in that. It's yes. All what he did, friends. It's what he did. He gave himself that he might redeem us. That's free us from every lawless deed. He died to set you free from the power of sin and from the consequences of the law. And purify for himself. Okay? He's purifying us. How does he do it? With this sermon. With this word of God. As you sit and allow Holy Spirit to teach you. As you allow grace to teach you. Purifying for himself his own special people. Which is what you are in Christ. Zealous for good works. There's a proof. So you should like look at this and analyze your life and say, what I'm doing, is it for Jesus or is it for me? Right? We live for the glory of God. No other thing. Yeah. We live for the glory of God. Okay? That's all over the Bible. We live to please him. We cannot please him in the flesh. If we live in the flesh, it says it's enmity. That's hostility towards God. Yeah. Living by the Spirit of God is praising him. It's bringing him glory. And watch what he says. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Friends, he's writing to Timothy or Titus. And he's saying, make sure people understand this. This is what needs to happen until Jesus comes back. Teach it. Rebuke those who aren't living like it. Like, let them know and do it with authority. And so I just don't think it's just Titus. It's all of us. Like Heidi asked, what if they don't listen? Doesn't matter.
Yep.
If God lays on your heart to be the messenger of God and to the prophet of God and bring a strong word and say, turn from your sin or die, you preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
You're not responsible, okay? We good?
Mm-hmm.
I want to finish with this. It just, you know, Wendy's like, she's reading Romans 8 and she's like, my, did you see this? This is so incredible. And I'm like, yeah, this is so incredible. So, if you have, if you've been following me and been coming to church, I use this illustration at the beginning. The judge, right? We all appear before the judge. And we're all guilty. Every single person is guilty. Everyone. There's not one person who's not. And the judge pronounces a sentence for all your sins, all the stuff you've done against the judge, okay? The judge of the universe, against God. You've fallen short of his glory. That's what sin is. Remember, you're created for his glory in his image. Okay? When we sin, we fall short of that. We fall under condemnation. But we go before the judge. And you stand there and you say, oh God, I can't do it. I can't meet your law. And I can't. There's only one thing. How do I deal with this? Death. You got to die, Mike. I'm sorry. You got to die. Really? But I'm going to die in my sins. And he says, hang on. I'm going to take your place, and I'm going to die for you. Okay? I'm going to die in your place. And that's what I said. He comes back, and he pays the penalty for your sins. He dies in your place. He comes back on the throne, and he looks at you and says, there. Done. It's over with. Bought and paid for. Not guilty. No condemnation. Okay, you have a choice now. You can walk away from the judge and you can say, okay, thanks God, thanks Jesus, thanks for all you've done, and go live like you used to live. That would be absolute foolishness, because what's going to happen? You're going to be dead in your sins. Your old life is gone. You're a new creation. He makes you a new creation. He totally gives you a new life, regenerates you. Okay, so he says, I don't want you to go back and live according to the used to. I'm preparing a bride for my son. So here's what I'm going to do. I not only died for you, I'm going to live in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to teach you how to live for me. And I'm going to walk with you every single day. Okay? And I'm going to be by your side. And when you have a really hard time, I'm right there. I'll never leave you, Mike. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to be in you and for you, and I'm going to fight your battles for you, and I'm going to kick Satan's butt for you. And he's already defeated, okay? Mm-hmm. And you need to keep walking with me. You need to keep walking with me. You need to walk in the power of the Spirit, not in the flesh. Mike, you don't belong to the flesh anymore. You belong to Jesus, okay? He bought you. He paid for you. You're mine. You're mine. I own you. You live for me now. You're not a slave to sin. You're my slave, okay? That's what we've been seeing in this chapter. And he says this, Mike, if you choose that, you will reign with me. Romans 5. You'll reign far above all the sin. And you will be victorious. And at the end of this journey, when you're walking this race and you're fighting the fight and you keep going and persevering and I'm with you and you're trusting me, then I'm going to get you at the finish line and I'm going to meet you and I'm going to give you the crown of righteousness. And I'm going to put it on your head. And I'm going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on into your Father's kingdom. Friends, holy cow. Now you tell me what life you want to live. You want to live for the flesh? You want to live for Jesus? Let's pray. God, it's incredible what you've done. It's so incredible. I don't even know how to express it other than say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I want more of you. Baptize us afresh.
Yes.
Fire us up, Lord. Fill us to overflowing. I pray for all of us, Father, that we would desire nothing but you. And Lord, that you would keep us until that day when we see you face to face and we cross that finish line and you welcome us into your kingdom. Lord, we are just so excited. We know, Lord, it could happen anytime. Things are really heating up. But Lord, in these days of falling away and apostasy and all that stuff, Lord, we want to be said of us, he saved us to the uttermost. We are receiving the joy of our salvation in its fullness. The kingdom of God in your presence. And Lord, as you have dwelt with us all these years, we want to dwell with you forever. Mm-hmm. And so Lord, lead us to that day. Mm-hmm. Keep us until the end. You are able to keep us from falling. We thank you for your hand of mercy and grace on our lives. We want grace to continue teaching us. And we want you to continue walking with us. So Lord, where we are not doing that, speak to us. I pray for these young folks who just embrace you, Lord, that you would fill them, that the hunger they have for you would never leave, Lord, yes. That they would see the passion for your name in us, Lord, that we would be examples of, you can follow me as I follow Christ, because we want him just as bad as you do. So, Lord, do a mighty work in us. We pray for your glory in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
The Church of Jesus Christ, don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit living
Amen.
In you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He is more powerful.
Yeah.
More powerful than our flesh, too.
Yes. Yeah.